Deuteronomy 28, National Blessings and Curses. And I'm sorry, but studying through these chapters, I've been seeing a lot of issues related to America. I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm very concerned for the future of America. Not because it's just America, because I see what the Word of God says about nations and the way to receive God's blessings. I don't believe we can pray God bless America anymore. We're having to pray God be merciful to America because of what we're tolerating and even exalting in our nation. Notice it says here, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken. Notice the conditional there. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And again, just by way of application, there are biblical principles that apply to nations as we see in the Word of God. So notice again, if we will hearken diligently to God's voice, hearken diligently to what God commands in his Word, and again, by way of application as far as a nation is concerned, so we see here that as this is the theme throughout the book of Deuteronomy, blessings are dependent upon obedience. God blesses obedience. Do you notice here how he says that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth? Now, I really believe that Israel, this obviously applies to Israel, but I believe that America has been exalted by God because we have exalted God's truth and so on in the past, but that is no longer the case. In fact, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness, not conservatism. Fox News is not going to bring about God's exalting of a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. So again, I think in America we've gotten this lie in our minds now that it's conservatism. No, that's not what God blesses. God does not bless conservative politics. He blesses righteousness. So if a conservative politician, I should say, lives an unrighteous life, there's not going to be the blessing there. So again, we have to understand that, but righteousness exalteth the nation. And you notice here, Israel would be exalted above other nations. I really believe that's what we saw in history. Especially under King David's reign, in the early part at least of his reign, it says, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Notice that, again, that conditional word. But you notice here the word overtake, it carries the idea of not immediately coming upon them, but coming upon them in due season. Notice me, Galatians chapter 6. I thought about this in relation to personal application. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Very clear principle as far as what God will do. Again, the type of life that we live is what we will receive from the Lord. It says in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And again, I believe this applies to a nation as well. Again, the application we can draw out on that. But for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Notice then in verse 9 it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for notice, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So again, this keep doing what is right, and in time we will receive the positive blessings of that. Back into Deuteronomy 28. Notice again the condition, if thou shalt hearken. If thou shalt hearken. Notice he emphasizes that over and over again. But then he gives some specifics as far as God's blessing. Thou shalt be blessed in the city. Cities do not have God's blessings right now because wickedness is allowed to reign. Terrorism, that's literally what's been going on in America. Terrorism has been allowed to go on unchecked. Notice thou shalt see the blessings in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. That's speaking of rural areas outside of the cities. Blessed be shall be the fruit of thy body, all right, so the children, and the fruit of thy ground, your harvest. Notice then of your livestock, the cattle, increase of thine kine, and flocks of thy sheep. Blessed be thy basket and thy store. So I believe that's talking about the food supply. It was very interesting during the midst of COVID-19 when they were starting to talk about shutting down meat packing plants and all that kind of stuff. All of a sudden there were concerns about the food supply in stores. Not only that, but you also had challenge with the food supply in stores as people did a run on the stores because of the panic that was related to this early on. You couldn't get toilet paper and all that kind of stuff. But again, he says, blessed be thy basket and thy store. All right, so the food supply and the grocery stores and so on. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. All right, so when you go traveling, God's blessings will be on. So notice again how God specifically mentions some of these things in relation to a nation. It says, verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. So complete victory in warfare. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. This carries the idea of your business operations. All right, so if you have no fireworks in the storehouse, you're not going to be able to get anything out to the tents, right, Kurt? All right, so the storehouses, the warehouses, and so on. It says, but again, the blessing upon the storehouses. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, I really believe in our history we have experienced God's blessings on our nation because we have sought to honor God's word and follow the principles related to our nation. But it says here in verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee. Notice the nation of Israel will be established as an holy people unto himself. And I'm trying to remember the founding father that said, what kind of government did you give us? Ben. Yeah, Ben Franklin. I was thinking it was Ben Franklin. I couldn't remember without looking it up. But what kind of country did you give us? And what was the response? A republic, madam, if thou canst keep it. I want you to notice, we would not be established as a nation if we're not a righteous nation, a holy people. As he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. There's no guarantee that God is going to establish America today if we're going to continue to exalt unrighteousness, wickedness, and so on and so forth. So God cannot bless those kinds of things. He will not bless those kinds of things. In fact, I did a little reading, as I was looking at a cross-reference, Genesis 19. That's not a lack of hospitality is why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. It was wicked. Amen. It was wickedness. And that's exactly what we're exalting in our nation today. Even our Supreme Court is now opening the door for that wide. Even it's transgender and all that kind of stuff. It says in verse 11, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, the fruit of thy body, and so on. So again, God's plenty. Verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Notice God's blessing upon our work. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Wow, there's an application for America today. Since January, was it $2.8 trillion in new debt. Notice, thou shalt lend unto many nations. I mean, there's been times in America, I'm thinking, it's kind of gone overboard in our history where we actually give too much to some nations that probably, you know, like Iran or whatever. But you notice here, thou shalt lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. Notice that as you look in the context of this chapter, our nation borrowing as much as we are, going into debt as much as we are, is a sign of God's curse on our nation, not his blessing. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Notice rising up and exalted, even as we saw earlier in the chapter, exalted above other nations. Well, that's you know, American elitism. That's what God said would happen upon a nation that would honor him, obey him. Notice, if thou shalt hearken. Notice again, this condition that's all through this section here. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now you think about idolatrous nations. Idolatrous nations are not blessed by God. All you have to do is look at our world. India has not experienced God's blessing over the centuries. You think about the exalting of false gods, you know, millions of gods in Hinduism. That nation has extreme poverty and so on. So part of it is because of rats eat more than the people. Because after all, you can't kill your distant relative there. Rats eat more than people because of their idolatry. You think about even Islamic nations. Oh, the king in Saudi Arabia is wealthy. But you take a look at that. A lot of these Islamic nations, the rulers are wealthy, but not the people. Communism and so on. So all of these types of nations, that does not have God's blessing upon them. Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If, again, this is a condition, if America, we'll get back to God's word, establish our nation, then I believe we can have God's blessing. Now, in the contrast, notice the curses upon a nation in verse 15 and following. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, what I think is interesting as I was doing some study of this, I remembered what Jesus did to the fruitless fig tree. The fig tree was a picture of Israel. And Jesus said to the fig tree, as he went to get some fruit on the tree and found that there was leaves only, he cursed the fig tree, and it says that it withered up in the same day. It's very interesting, as that fig tree pictures Israel, as Jesus cursed the fig tree, a picture of Israel, we see here that God promises these curses upon the nation of Israel. And notice it says, these curses shall overtake thee. And you think about the nation of Israel today, it does not have God's blessing. And it's pretty much at least an agnostic nation. They're not exalting God. Curses shall not be in the city, in the field, and so on. Notice the opposite, totally opposite of the blessing. Verses 16 through 18. These are the consequences to a nation as far as consequences of disobedience to God. And it affects every area of a culture. That's what I want you to consider as we look through this section on the curses. The consequences of disobedience to God affects every area of a culture. That's where we are in America today. It's affecting everything, our financial system, everything. It says, verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing. Notice then vexation. The word vexation carries the idea of destruction, trouble, a tumult. Have you as an American felt vexation lately? As you see mob violence ruling? Notice also rebuke. The Lord will send upon thee rebuke. This speaks of reproof and correction. All right, so throughout history, as Israel turned away from God's law, it says that he often would send them early. Even the message of the prophets would come early. So I see in many cases that the Old Testament prophets were early risers, and I get the idea that early in the morning they were already out in the markets preaching, prophesying, and proclaiming God's message of judgment on a nation that was rejecting him. Until thou be destroyed, in all that thou settest thy hand to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. So again, we see here the consequences of this. Verse 21, this sounds like we've been, at least as far as the news is concerned, talking about this. The Lord make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Oh, now they're talking second waves. Pestilence, the plague, a malignant contagious disease. Now, I'm convinced, still convinced as I look at the numbers, that it's not as severe as they've said. But you think about the fear of this pestilence, the fear of this disease. As you think about notice it says, it'll cleave unto thee. Oh yeah, it should be, Okay, now we're going to second wave, as they're calling it. But again, this pestilence that's causing fear in our land. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. I did a study of some of these words. It's very interesting. Consumption is a disease affecting the lungs. Symptoms include fever and a cough. You know, it used to be in America, we would hear people who had consumption. We don't hear about that as much. But notice that's one of the aspects of God's judgment on a nation as some of this spreads. With a fever. Every morning I'll work, I have to make sure I don't have a fever. Make sure I don't have 100.4 temperature. In America, that's never happened in my lifetime. I've never had to go to a job and have them check my temperature before I can show up for work. Interesting, in America. With an inflammation and with an extreme burning. Some believe that that's a reference to an extreme temperature. But then he talks about the sword and with blasting. Now, as I did some study on this blasting, it talks about a scorching hot wind that causes grain to not mature properly. Notice as God sends this hot wind, it would blast their crops, and so then they don't have a crop that they can utilize. Also with mildew. This is a fungus affecting grain. And it says, they shall pursue thee until thou perish. So literally, as you look at this, economic and health crisis. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? And thy heaven that is over thee, thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. There's going to be no rain. You look at Israel today, it's not prospering like a rose or anything like that. It's a desert. But again, diseases, violence, bad weather, plagues, all of these things. You know, the sword possibly is violence. All of these things God said would come upon Israel if they did not honor him and his word. Also, verse 24, this is interesting. This brings back memories from West Texas. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. I remember as a teenager, the first time I ever experienced a West Texas dust storm. I remember when I was at school, at the high school there, and all of a sudden we looked off in the distance, and all of a sudden the sky was a brown color as all of the windstorm was coming up and was picking up the dust, and literally it rained dust. Everything was covered in dust. Every once in a while, you experience a West Texas dust storm. That's something you won't, probably had those down in Mexico too. Huh? It's not something you soon forget, because literally it rains dust. It rains dirt, powder. Notice again, the rain of thy land, powder and dust, until thou be destroyed. I remember talking to a man we called Cowboy in the nursing home in Abilene, Texas, when I was a teenager. I was helping my dad in the nursing home ministry there, and Cowboy would always tell, I don't remember what years it was, but it was early 1900s, and Cowboy would always tell about the year that they planted crops, and they did not come up until the next year because the ground was so dry. Like, wow, that's... They planted crops one year, and the next year, the seed grew. I mean, literally, you have to have it so dry that those seeds do not take sprout and don't rot in the ground and so on. That's how dry it was. Dust storms caused by drought. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven. Again, totally opposite of what he said as far as the blessing. And shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Notice this dispersion of Israel, as they experience defeat in battle, and literally they're carried off to the nations of this world. This is a sad part of history of Israel. Of course, it's prophesied here, but this actually came true. Thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Literally, dead bodies left unburied to be consumed by birds of prey and animals. Literally, as Babylon and Assyria and some of those nations conquered Israel, that's literally what they did. They left dead bodies laying everywhere. Nobody was buried. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt. Boy, this sounds horrible. The botch. Botch speaks of the boils. Remember in the plagues, Egypt had these boils that caused them to not be able to even stand before Moses. All right, so this botch of Egypt with the emerods. Sometimes we call them hemorrhoids. Notice, it's part of God's judgment. The scab. Remember, as far as the emerods, remember the Philistines experienced this in the judgment of God? So they made emerods and mice, golden mice, to try to appease the God of Israel. But again, the scab. Right, so with the scab, it's a skin disease with a hard crust. Hard crusts on the surface. Notice this is a scab, and with the itch, this is a parasitic skin disease caused by a small mite, causing an itch. Huh. Boy, it sounds horrible, doesn't it? Whereof thou canst not be healed. You know, you try to all kinds of different ointments, but nothing causes a healing of this disease and these conditions. The Lord shall smite thee with madness. What does the word madness in the Bible mean? We call it craziness or insanity. In reality, much of the psychology, you know, the psychiatric and all those kind of conditions, that's insanity. In reality, much of the insanity or the mental illness that we have today is because of unresolved guilt related to sin. God said, I'm going to send the madness. To be honest with you, I know this is not politically correct, but this transgender movement today is part of this madness right here. God said, I make them male and female. A child can figure out who's a boy or a girl. Adults can't. That's insanity in America. When men can't figure out which restroom they're supposed to go to, that's madness and insanity. It's mental illness, blindness, and astonishment of heart. You know, I wonder how many people in America have experienced astonishment of heart as they watch the secular news, all the burning and looting in America. Coming to a community near you. Astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Sorry, no politician's going to have the answer. No man shall save thee. It's not a new politician that we need. It's God that we need. Notice, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You know, notice this betrothed wife will be unfaithful. Every venture will end in failure, it says in verse 30. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Notice, nothing is going to go right. Well, that sounds like America today. As soon as we're done with one calamity, we have another one. And it's produced. Oh, now wait a minute. Oh, you mean God can use a liberal mindset to destroy a nation? Yeah. He used some of his kings to bring judgment upon the nation of Israel. Also in verse 31, livestock would be stolen. Would be taken away, hauled away. Verse 32, children would be taken captive. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. In the Babylonian captivity, 10,000 young people were taken to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. 10,000 young people hauled off to another land. Notice again, God said it, and he fulfilled his word, his warning. The fruit of thy land, and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway. By the way, we've given prosperity to China, not our land. Again, there's all kinds of applications I see here. Again, insanity, verse 34. So shalt thou be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Again, the insanity. It was interesting. I did some reading on, I think David Cloud had this in relation to an update on the COVID-19. I thought about this as Frank and Amber are making plans coming back from Nepal. It was interesting. A statistic that he reported, of course, he's David Cloud is a missionary in Nepal, and he said that there were 1,000 deaths related to COVID-19 by suicide in Nepal. And according to his numbers, I think it was like 20 deaths related to COVID-19. Can you imagine how lopsided that? More people are dying from suicide over this issue than the disease itself. But again, that's the insanity, the madness that all this stuff brings. And it says in verse 35, well, this sounds severe. Lord shall smite thee in the knees and the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Evidently, this is a boil, an open sore that starts in the lower legs and moves throughout the body. I mean, this doesn't sound very nice. But again, this is all consequence of God, of somebody rejecting God. Defeated by another nation. Of course, Israel was defeated by Assyria and Babylon. Verse 36, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. There thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone. It's interesting, even some of these nations like Babylon and all, that they would give them new names after their gods, the Babylonian gods. It's interesting, the fulfillment of some of this later. Israel would become a source of amazement to other nations. Thou shalt be an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword. Wow, Israel. Yeah, they used to be a great nation. Among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Oh, wow, they're not much anymore. God can do that to America. He can bring us down. He's done a pretty good job of it so far. It says, thou shalt carry much seed out of the field, shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Notice here, crop failures. Verse 39 talks about the worms eating the grapes. Verse 40 talks about the olive casting his fruit before it was ripened. Literally, the crop failures because of locusts, worms, and the olive casting its fruit too early. Notice the captivity of the younger generation. Again, Daniel 1 talks about this. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. What is it? The prophet Joel that talks about this? Literally, there were four waves that destroyed the crops, destroyed the trees and so on in Israel. When God says something, we need to take it seriously. Verse 47, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Notice, serving God because of the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in want of all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, this oppression, even as early as the period of the judges for the nation of Israel, until he have destroyed thee. So notice bondage to foreign powers. In the book of Judges, it's the Philistines and the Midianites. In the history of Israel, it was Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Literally, God fulfilled all of these things. There was a yoke of iron and of oppression from foreign powers. Verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far. Well, China's kind of far off, isn't it? We're also having threats from Russia. Have you seen that from time to time? Well, I've been hearing that they kind of cross into our territory sometimes. Notice God's going to bring a nation against us from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Not everyone speaks English. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person, notice this, shall not regard the person of the old, nor shall show favor unto the young. Literally, old and young will be killed. Now, I believe 49 and 50 actually is prophetic of the Roman Empire. The rod of iron and so on that Rome would rule Israel in the future. shall eat of the fruit of the cattle, and so on. Again, just economic destruction of the nation. Now, it's very interesting. This is a pretty somber thing. Verse 53. It's going to become so desperate as far as the nation of Israel, if they reject him, that they would turn to cannibalism to survive. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters. Can you imagine it getting so bad that all of a sudden you decide you're going to eat your family members? That happened in Israel. That happened in Israel, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, so this is a soft-spoken man and so on. Notice his eyes even shall be turned, be evil toward his brother. Notice he'd be willing to eat his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. They become so desperate, they'll turn and eat their own family members. Remember the two women went to the king? The decision was they were going to eat one child one day and then eat the other child the next day. Well, the one mother decided she wasn't wanting to do that, so she hid her child. They took it all the way to the king. Can you imagine something like this going to the Supreme Court? Well, we ate her child yesterday. That's the kind of idea that we're talking about. Notice verse 56 talks about the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Here's this tender, soft-spoken woman. Her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter. So here's this normally soft-spoken woman who will become so desperate she will eat her family. Verse 58, if thou wilt not observe to do. This is pretty serious. God says it's serious business to not acknowledge what I've said in my word. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name. Notice all capital letters in the King James Bible. This is because it's a name for God. The Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. And thy plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Now, this word wonderful there doesn't mean, oh, wow, so wonderful. Not as the way we think of it. People are going to have, they're going to be full of wonder at, wow, I can't believe the impact of this, the severity of this. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt. What I think is very interesting is Exodus 15:26, remember, and let's look at that. Exodus 15, I think it's, is it the waters of Marah? I drew a blank all of a sudden. God gives Israel a promise in this passage here, as they had no water in the wilderness here. Verse 23 says, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. The people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt, this sounds like Deuteronomy 28. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Notice again, he's going to reverse that here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 60. All the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of this law. God says, okay, I've mentioned those. I'm going to add others. Have you ever wondered why we have new diseases these days? Some of them, I believe, are manufactured. Some of them come in a laboratory. Notice, even diseases that I've not even mentioned yet, that I've not mentioned here, until thou be destroyed. and you shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude. Because thou wouldest not, notice again how many times he emphasizes, because you won't obey, here's what's going to happen. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, to bring you to nothing. He shall be plucked off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all the people, among all the nations. This is the dispersion of Israel. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Notice, among these nations shalt thou find no ease. That's the history of Israel over these last 2,000 years. You know, they'll settle into a land, and then there's, you know, an anti-Semitic uprising against them. Notice, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. Okay, so at one point, Jews started settling in New York City. How much of a place of peace is it for them now? Right. As the mayor disrupts a funeral service of 15 people and threatens that synagogues and churches would be destroyed if they continue to meet. By the way, a judge has ordered that he's inconsistent. He's allowing all these thousands of people to protest. We'll see if a judge enforces it. Forces the decision there. But anyway, it says, among these nations thou shalt find no ease, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. You think about Hitler's Holocaust. Literally, Adolf Hitler had a registration of Jews. You know why he did that? So he knew where their bank accounts were. So he knew where they lived. Then he started rounding them up. Millions. This is a result of them rejecting God's law. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. You know, you think about pictures of Jews in hiding from Hitler's soldiers. Thou shalt fear day and night, constantly wondering whether somebody's going to be pounding on the door and raiding and hauling away Jews and those who were harboring them. Thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. Can I point out that it's been about 2,700 years since the Assyrian captivity of Israel? The nation of Israel, for the most part, has not had peace and been free from conflict now for 2,700 years because of God's judgment. Fulfillment of what we're reading in this chapter. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. They're wishing their life away because of the fear. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear. For the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondmen, sold into slavery, and no man shall buy you. I would say those are severe consequences for disobeying God. Okay, application for us. God has given us in the New Testament commands for us to obey. God blesses obedience. That is the principle that God has emphasized. How many times did he say, if you obey, I'll bless. If you disobey, I'm sorry, I can't help but bring judgment upon you. Father, I pray that you'd help us individually, but Father, I pray for America as well. Lord, our nation was founded upon principles and truths of your word. But Father, now we're even rejecting the documents that were based on your word. Lord, it's no wonder America is dealing with what we're dealing with. Lord, we're already under your judgment. Probably the question is, how bad is it going to get? And Lord, it's going to depend upon whether or not we have true repentance here in this land. Father, I'm not seeing repentance. I'm not even hearing a lot of calls for repentance among even so-called evangelical leaders. God, be merciful in your judgment. In judgment, remember mercy. Because God, obviously, you can't bless a nation that has rejected you. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, may we, in your mercy, turn back the right direction. In Jesus' name, amen.